I've had a bit of a cold over the last week, so if my voice dries up, just ask me to speak up, just sort of, you know, indicate louder. Anyway, good morning. And it's great to be able to share with you this morning. This morning I'm going to talk about a really terrible disease. And it's probably the most common disease amongst human beings in time. And I'm hopefully going to give you some you can diagnose it and ways that you can have an antidote and to its effect. And the disease is known as personal pronouns. Oh, can I? Too far. Also known as the eye disease. I'll explain a bit more about that as we. That while we go through it, and gives us this antidote in these here. And I'm going to really, the point of all of this is whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. Key phrase sort of sets the tone for it all. But I'm going to background. Philippians. This is a picture of a village. It's a village in the middle of the Peruvian Andes. And it's the site of the first German settlers in the 18th, looking to an invitation from to come and in their land. And the government eventually found their way to this. And about 170 people arrived and started a settlement in the style of the German Austrian. And even today, and there's on that day, I didn't know. Eat Wurst. This is the church, and you can see in the front of the taxi, which is a very typical vehicle for taxis. And it's a bit like Philippi, because Philippi, Roman colony in a Greek kind of lived kind of they lived in a land where the people around them had slightly different living. But today, much of the residents, they do speak German. And in the same way, these Philippians were Greek world, but we today about this. So he writes all God's holy people, all the saints. Working gospel. Citizenship. Citizenship for a common purpose. An identity. So they've common ways of part of as a not just individuals, he's also writing. Being citizens of the United Kingdom of Britain, because that isn't even British apparently today, but it's very difficult to define British values. Being British, don't we get citizenship? And for us, citizens of heaven. We have a common boundary, common an identity. Them who weren't, who were enemies of, also who. So, things going on outside. The reason I want to show that film clip earlier on, actually, that's part of the struggle we're against. You see, the whole thrust of the attitude. And that means that we look after ourselves and we point to ourselves. And writing to, he's not ashamed of that even if he's not there, he's so that they are. He's still saying that they have this idea, the enemy within. I'll give you just another line of thought about this, and this is moving on to the next, into chapter 2. Walk down a corridor in front, holds the door in view, and this little dilbert can't while there. There's an awkward moment when you're and you're not quite sure how to but generally we kind of expect people to and it's really taught to an early age, isn't it, to hold the door open for the person behind us. It's a curse. You can't expect it. And in fact, people get quite upset if you door slam when there doesn't seem to be a reason for it. It's a curse. Kind of the way we think. And actually, that's right, but Paul is asking us to go way beyond that idea, because look at the book, cartoon, and how it's very cynical about cartoon. But actually, sometimes it could be that the reason people do that with certain people is so that they get treated better themselves as a result. It's kind of a mixed motive. They seem to be doing the right thing to curry favour. Like when you tip someone at a restaurant. So if you give a tip, it is a nice gesture for the waiter. And we kind of expect to give a tip at a nice posh restaurant. If you have a nice meal, for a nice meal, the two of you, and you have a really sharing a meal together, and you want to give the waiter a nice to you and kind to you, you give the waiter a tip. Could be any night, could be in the family, any situation, and you give a tip. That restaurant regularly, so this is the mixture. It could be that you're tipping so that the next time you go. So it's kind of a mixed motive. And I don't mean there's necessarily terrible thoughts, by the way. There's not. So I'm just saying that our motives are always pure. These things, some of these courtesies, sort of knock-on effect we seek, rather than just doing them for the sake of doing. And that's part of where I was going. A kind of one it really would upset us if there were people. Ruthlessly seeking the top of the ladder, ruthlessly seeking promotion, ruthlessly throwing people by the wayside to go up to the top. And we don't like that. Are we to work a little bit harder when the bosses we look busy when we're. And do you see where I'm saying? I'm giving you examples of how we can sort of have that mixed in good things. I'll give you a final example. Happened, and this happened at the Last Supper, about how this motive problem arose. And this happened with the... So they just had the Last Supper. Dispute arose among them as to which of them was considered to be the greatest. Jesus said to them, the Gentiles lorded over them. Those who exercise them call themselves benefactors. Like that. Instead, youngest, the one who's able, you a kingdom. One on me, so that you tribes of Israel. So it was a very serious moment, but a couple of the disciples be the first. And Jesus was just playing the last solemn moment when he took covenant. He was his disciples. Human being, but they were thinking about themselves. Who was going to be the great? You'd think, having spent and knowing what he was about, they would have gotten that. Well, if they're like that, and they haven't been surely it's kind of a thing we need to for ourselves as well, but have a mature view of things. And we need to look what things we do, but what's in our mindset. And our mind has to be renovated. Changed. In view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good and pleasing will. Good, pleasing, and perfect will. So the idea is that not me before you, being a servant. And we sang that the servant king, and if you like, the example that I'm thinking of. What really Paul is writing about is how we can be helped. You see, and we need the right place, and God wants his Holy Spirit to do that. What is his Spirit? For things to the Philippians, and this is where in the Christian. So he's talking about encouragement to keep, because we're united. Comfort in adversity, given by love. So encouragement, comfort, friendship, the Spirit. The Spirit gives companion. And those four things, things that are from the beginning of chapter 2, you have. So, that we should have it because Holy Spirit. He, the Holy Spirit, is the one that brings us all of these four strengths. and to change, transform our mind. They shape our minds to a sharing attitude and a gospel-centered culture. You see, our citizenship is you've probably heard that. Us and a kind of an instruction set all the time, wherever we go, to show us towards the right mindset. And he brings that change of mind. And he's the one who really all of the places disease, this personal pronounitis, is selfless. So to put other people above ourselves. And really, really hard thing, all of the things that are said here, where we are asked to put other people above ourselves. I'm not confession. And I find it very hard to start think they must be better than me. And I hope that's a problem. That's where I need these. And he, the Holy Spirit, all those things are. How amazing we all are. And when, for us, you see, he values us for who we are. Each of us, none of us is useless. Just by putting other people above us doesn't put us down, because we know that we are going to be ignored, useless. Great value to God. From that bedrock, not we can be sure and confident, and not be upset by thinking that some other people are greater than, or everyone else have got great attributes. It doesn't put us down. Now, if you're not a Christian, or if you sort of used to this, please don't that it's changing our mindset right with God. That all you need to do is think the right way. What I'm saying, I'm on about us. We need the Holy Spirit to alongside us and help. He's, in a mathematical sense, if and only if. It's necessary and, what's the other one? I just lost my track. To be able to change. And the only way. And so we need that you're not sure what that was, but the lead to help through to the Holy Spirit to change your way. Follows from this and preface it by saying it's that Jesus. It's a beautiful poem, and just because it's such a beautiful poem, but I'll say a bit more about it afterwards. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the very nature of a servant, being made in a human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. As I say, it's such a really valuable poem. Now, it's the demonstration of why we should change our minds. But it's not just that the Lord Jesus was a great example as a human being. Though he is a great example. And he gave everything. And he did even the most important thing. He died naked. He died on a cross which was for criminals. Even an utterly shameful thing. He was completely innocent. So, I'm thinking about young people, but it applies to older people as well. If you're afraid of embarrassed in any way, think about the most embarrassing thing that could possibly happen, and it comes nowhere near to the idea of dying naked. Thing that happens, but he did the most amazing thing. But how did parents of your younger or however old you are respond to this humiliation, to this completion? Well, as we read, he exalted Jesus to the possible place and gave him the name above all other names. And that's so we are asked to look not as he was on the cross, but actually to look on him in his glory. So the reason we need to change our minds, the reason why going to be changed, is not that Jesus was an example, but Jesus did it for us. He did more because he is worth it. He's the one who's really. And I think if you leave that thought, he is worth it. I think it'd be worthwhile us considering praying about that.